All right. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us for the first installment of the Azure Educational Series. My name is Christy Dennis, and I am a Cloud Infrastructure Specialist here at Microsoft. Today, I am joined by my esteemed colleague, Mr. Tony Sims. He is a Cloud Infrastructure and Security Technical Specialist on our team. Today's focus is going to be around cloud storage, backup, and DR solutions. Specifically in Azure. So the content will include a blend of both PowerPoint as well as some demos, and also a blend of not just Microsoft native solutions in the cloud around this space, but also some of the third-party partnerships that we have in place. Following the broadcast, we will have a link that will get sent out to all registrants for our event homepage. This is going to include both a copy of the recording and presentation, as well as some additional details on some of the solutions that we will cover in today's presentation. You also have the option to interact during the broadcast with questions, which is going to be moderated by our team. So feel free to ask away. We want to make sure this is a great use of your time and we're able to get you the detail that you need. Without further delay, I'm going to toss this over to Tony so we can get started. So thanks again for attending. Go ahead, Tony.
Thanks, Christy. Appreciate it. So good morning, everybody. As Christy said, I'm a Cloud Infrastructure and Security Technical Specialist with Microsoft, and I cover all of our infrastructure technologies, both on-premise and in Azure. Today, we're going to drill into how you can leverage cloud storage, backup, and disaster recovery capabilities within your business. Here's today's agenda. We're going to look at what Azure is. We're going to talk a little bit about trust and compliance because it's always important. We'll talk about Azure storage as a base capability and provide a technical overview of that. And then we'll go into some hybrid use cases for storage. First, a quick level set on Azure. You want to focus on the fact that Azure is a global, trusted, and hybrid solution that you can leverage for your organization. The Microsoft Cloud, Azure, is currently available in 38 regions worldwide, with regions in France and Korea coming online soon. Azure regions are paired with another region over 100 miles away for geo-redundancy and resiliency. This ensures your data is safe in the case of a major regional disaster. Additionally, the Microsoft network that supports Azure consists of over 1.6 million miles of fiber, one of the three largest networks in the world. This slide shows some of the large number of services available within the Azure infrastructure. This includes things from Azure Infrastructure as a Service VMs all the way to multi-factor authentication and log analysis. Today, we're only going to focus on the areas that are highlighted on the screen. So we're going to drill into storage. We're going to look at some solutions around hybrid cloud storage and then some of our partner solutions that are available within what's called the Azure Marketplace. Before we get into the details, I want to level set you on what Microsoft does to secure your platform and secure your data. We have the largest compliance portfolio in the industry. So I believe there's over 47 different compliance standards that we meet. And we're always adding to the portfolio to meet our customers where they need us to be from a standards standpoint. Within Azure, we have layers of control measures, security measures, and trust measures. So you can see that goes everywhere from physical security to security of the infrastructure, security of the network, and security of the applications and storage that are running within the platform. Now let's dig into storage. Most organizations are facing challenges in their current storage environments around cost, increased scalability requirements, and data protection that are limiting their ability to move forward and transform. By leveraging Azure, we can help you remediate those challenges and help you become more agile. When we start thinking about Azure, you know, the first thing you think about with the cloud is scalability, the ability to instantly grow to near infinite capacity. You can't do this on-premise. This is a value of the cloud. So we want to look at how we can integrate that into our existing environment. The other nice thing about the cloud is the regional coverage around the world capability of the cloud. We can take advantage of that third largest network to move data where we need it and to allow folks to access data where they are while still meeting the government regulations, the business regulations and compliance standards that we need. Now, what I've done is
talk a little bit more about trust. Demos.
When we think about that are
Azure
done
storage,
through
we're thinking
a video
about data
because of the way Skype broadcast
data,
works. So I'm going to narrate
sure
this video
durable,
as we
so in case
as we
of
go
failure
through.
That it's going to be available.
We want to
so
make
the first
sure
video
that it's just going to show you how you create a blob.
We want to make sure that
account,
it protects against regional disasters.
And we probably are going to want to take advantage of
you'll be surprised at how
encryption
capability
to secure that data where it resides. Microsoft is trusted by over 85% of the Fortune 500.
So
they're
we're
taking
in
advantage
the
of those
cloud
Azure
economics.
Portal, and
we've
we're
been validated by
an
industry
a storage
account.
And as you've seen, we've invested
so
heavily.
Very simple.
In
we're
compliance.
Just going to go in.
We're going to fill in the name. So when we think about cloud economics, it's about reducing your risk. It's
we
about paying
choose
for only
what
type
you need,
of
not
planning for
the
highest capacity
you might need over
general
years
purpose,
paying
which
that
is up front.
Blob,
and then we can
block,
also drive costs out
storage.
Via the current market price.
If we had used
so when you think about Microsoft,
blob, we would have had a
and
choice
the scale
on
we acquire storage,
about.
We can do that
we
a
choose
lot
our durability
than most
model.
Can. We can choose our operational benefits,
so cool or hot.
You don't have to worry about
drive down costs
if I'm
going to
refresh
cool.
this hardware
we can choose
and migrating
whether we're encrypting
to a new set of hardware,
that
adding
storage.
Capacity to existing platform,
we can pick
the
platform goes out of support.
We'll have another session in
we
the
don't
future
have to deal
about
that.
Talk
about
cloud. Resource groups.
Additionally,
just think of it as a
it's a managed
for
service.
Management.
So
we'll pick so a resource
we're managing
group,
that
then we can pick.
There's no requirement
the
to go out there and patch the system. We're going to handle all that for you. And then you can also choose
okay,
what
so
type
looks like
here
we're not
of a capability you want to leverage. So whether that's data that's going to be
right.
accessed frequently
well,
or data
there.
That is archival
we'll
that we
keep rolling.
Sorry
access.
About that. This is a little bit of experimentation
we can
in progress
take
on how to do demos
of a cheaper
in
tier of storage.
So let's roll on with the presentation.
Another nice capability with our platform, and it's a differentiator for Microsoft. We're the only provider that can deliver on-premise, cloud, and hybrid, all with our solutions we have today. So we can extend your existing IT capabilities into the cloud and start leveraging some of those cloud economics with what you've invested in today. We can allow you to move workloads bidirectionally to the cloud and back. And we can also take advantage of that tiered storage as it integrates with your existing IT investments. We also give you choice. So not only choice on where you're running the solution, but also choice within the cloud. So you can take advantage of a solution like Office 365 that's pre-built and managed. You can build your own solutions using platform services. Or if you just want to move a virtual machine into the cloud, you can do that with our infrastructure as a service platform. We also integrate with a large number of software vendors out there. So what you're going to see as we get later in the presentation is we have a rich ecosystem of partners that extend our capabilities. You've probably seen on the slide Azure Stack coming soon over and over and over again. So in the near future, we're going to be delivering a solution called Azure Stack, which is literally going to bring the Azure Resource Manager, the Azure storage and compute capabilities to your data center. So in the future, when that gets a little closer, we'll have a session on that and talk about how you can take advantage of that platform as well. So let's drill a little deeper into Azure Storage. Azure Storage is the foundational building block of Azure. It's what everything else rides on top of. So when you use Office 365, layers below what you're using in Office 365, that's running on top of Azure Storage. When we look at the services that are available within Azure, those are also running on top of Azure Storage. And there's different types of storage, which we'll drill into that those services are taken advantage of. We've really hit on this already, but just to reiterate, hyperscale, hyper durable, secure via encryption at rest,
encryption in flight, and also the ability to bring your own key with Key Vault, highly fault tolerant. You can access the data the way that you need to access it. And I'm going to show you some examples during the demo of how easy it is to actually access data within the cloud. And then take advantage of that partner ecosystem that you're probably already leveraging out there. You may be surprised to find that some of the solutions that you have on-premise today are already able to be integrated with the cloud. When we think about Azure Storage Services specifically, we have storage services that support the different functions within the cloud. So when you think of cloud in Azure, you have infrastructure as a service or IaaS, and you have platform as a service or PaaS. And with IaaS, what we're supporting is those virtual machines. And when we think about running a virtual machine, we have to have a disk because it's got a VHD. If you're a VMware person, a VHD is essentially a VMDK that runs on top of Azure Storage. And we're going to look at Azure Disk specifically and drill into those some of those capabilities. And then we have Azure Files. Azure Files are unique because what it allows you to do is take advantage of that storage in the cloud, just like you would a file server, but without requiring that front-end file server. When we think about PaaS services are those building blocks that we use to build applications. PaaS is where we can really drive out cost in our cloud model versus maybe doing IaaS. We're not going to focus on all the storage capabilities within PaaS, so we're not going to look at tables and queues today because those have very specific application functions, but we are going to talk about object storage, which is what you'll hear termed as block blob storage. And that's where we can store bulk data like videos and such up in the cloud in a very economically friendly model. All of this is built on top of a unified distributed storage system, okay, that fabric that's managed by Microsoft to provide that level of durability and resiliency that you need. Let's talk about durability. So durability, when you think about durability, is my data available in the case of some type of disaster? So we have three levels of durability, and you choose when you set up your storage account, what level that your storage needs. So the first is what we call LRS, or locally redundant storage. So locally redundant storage is where we're gonna create three replicas within the data center region. So what that means is that's gonna protect us against a disk, node, or rack failure. So it's within that one data center. Then, if we want more durability, we can do geo-redundant storage. Geo-redundant storage is gonna take those three copies that we have in one region, it's gonna replicate that data to another region, so probably over 300 miles away based on geography, and it's going to make three copies in that second region. And that protects you from a major regional disaster, such as an earthquake or some other large disaster. Now, in certain scenarios, you might want to leverage that second copy for an application. And that's this read access geo-redundant storage. So what it does is it's replicated over to that other location, but then it's available in the other location as a read-only copy that we can use with our application. So really powerful capability that we'll look at an example how one of the customers is actually using that. Now we're going to dig just a little bit deeper on those areas that we talked about. So blob storage, it's really just a place to store and serve unstructured data. You know, I was thinking about simple ways to describe it. Think of it as a warehouse. Think of it as one of those storage facilities. Think of it as your basement. It's just a place that we put things. And it's very unstructured, unlike what you might see in a SQL Server database or even in some of our file servers we run on-premise. And so we can use this for a lot of different functions. So the key features of this, store petabytes of data. It's a virtually unlimited storage location. And so when we start looking at these hybrid solutions, it allows us to tier data off and take advantage of that unlimited storage. The durability we talked about already, the availability, depending on the solution you choose, you have guaranteed availability within that storage. It's strongly consistent. You can scale up on bandwidth and transactions per second based on your requirements, and it's cost effective. We primarily see blob storage used for platform as a service applications. So why do we do that? Because it's globally accessible. Obviously scale is there and cost efficiency there, but when we start thinking about PaaS, we want something that potentially could be available in any of the data centers, because PaaS services can be replicated across different data centers as well. And then it's good for application data, and that's both live application data and archival application data. We also see it used for big data analytics. A lot of folks are starting to take advantage of big data within their organization, and that's really cost prohibitive in a lot of cases on-premise. But when we take advantage of the cloud economics, we can really see some of that value at a pay-as-you-go, pay-as-you-need type model. Now let's look at the types of blobs. So we talked about blob storage. Now we're going to break it down a little further, and we're going to go into the different types of blob storage that's available. So when we think about blob storage, the first type of blob that we'll look at is a block blob. And this is just object storage. And you're essentially slicing off a chunk of that blob storage to be available for storing data. And it's pre-configured with the size that you need is a way to think about it. I think about block blob storage almost like you do. You see those big farms of containers or Connex boxes where we can put data into that container or put items into that container. So same way with block blob. So you'll see that used for applications a lot. Then we have append blobs. Append blobs are good for logging, for big data analytics, where we might have multiple systems writing to that blob. And then there's page blobs. Page blobs are what we use for virtual hard disks that we might be running a virtual machine on top of, event hubs, block level backup takes advantage of page blobs. So these are the types of blobs that are available within Azure. And so I'm going to cover off on a couple of questions I see in the window. So there is capability to apply encryption at rest with Azure Files. Blob storage is not BitLocker encrypted, but the VHDs can be encrypted, if that makes sense. So there's a couple ways you can do it. You can encrypt the blob, or you can actually encrypt the VHD. So it kind of depends on how you do it. And the VHDs are BitLocker, and then the blob is just an encryption methodology we use in Azure. And blob storage, we're going to get into more about premium storage in a minute, but in most cases, blob storage is not going to be on SSD unless we're talking about a disk. DFS shares with blob storage, there may be some use cases that you could do with DFS, but it would involve virtual machines. It wouldn't just be addressing the blob directly, at least not the way we see it today. But when we get to the ISV portion of the presentation, I think you'll find some interesting capabilities that some of our partners deliver that is similar to DFS, but a lot easier to manage. So let me go ahead and get rolling with the presentation again. So let's talk about the block blob storage accounts. So if I want to store data in a block blob, I'm probably looking at two types of data. It's either archival data that's rarely used, or it's data that I'm using directly from my application. So we have these two tiers built into Azure that we can take advantage of, and you can switch between those tiers based on what you need when you need it. The price model is different for the two tiers, and there's no charge to switch between the tiers. The nice thing from a developer standpoint is the API is 100% identical. So depending on what tier you're using, you still use the same API. In the future, we're going to release an archival or cold storage capability. And so this is data that is really not utilized, that we have to keep it for whatever reason, but we don't necessarily need to access it, and we can live with it might take hours to retrieve that data. So that's coming in the future. Now I'll provide a quick demo of how to create a storage account and access that storage account. So first we're going to go into the Azure portal. We're going to add a new storage account. We'll give it a name. Then we can choose our deployment model. We can choose what type of storage account. General purpose is that page blob storage. Blob storage is block blob storage. Because it's block blob, we only have a choice of standard performance. We'll choose our replication and durability model. We can decide whether we want cool storage or hot storage. We have the option to encrypt the storage account. Then we can choose a subscription and we'll put in a resource group, which is essentially just a management container. And we'll choose where we want to put the storage account in what Azure region. So now we'll create that storage account. So that'll take just a second to spin up. Now we'll refresh the page, open up the storage account we just created. So this is our storage account. It doesn't have any containers, so let's go ahead and create a container. So we'll give that a name. We can choose the access type. We're just going to leave it private. This has to do with the way that the application or other folks can access that data in the container. So that takes just a second to create the container. Now we'll look at how we can utilize that container. So we're going to go ahead and select it. And now you'll notice we can upload a file right into the container from within the Azure portal. So we'll say upload. And you notice we can pick the block size, what type of blob we want to upload. So we're going to upload a page, a block blob. So we'll go ahead and leave that to default and upload it. So just going to upload a video file. So now that that video file has been updated, we can see it inside of our container, and we could then download it if we want to. Here we can see some data about that video file. So it's available for use within Azure now. Now there's a tool that you can download off the Azure website called Storage Explorer, and you can execute Storage Explorer right from within the portal. I've already have it loaded on my machine, so it opens up Storage Explorer. And I'll just browse to my blob storage account. And so once I do that, very similar to what we see inside Windows Explorer, now I can go in and look at the data inside my container. So just a really quick demo of how a storage container works and how you can access that blob storage very easily using tools that are pretty familiar to most of us. So now let's talk about Azure Disks. So Azure Disks are the back end of Azure Virtual Machines. So it's where we store persistent data for our VMs. And it's backed by page blob. And the benefit when we start looking at Azure Disks is we do get the ability to take advantage of SSD storage. So you have the different types of disks out there. You got premium disks, SSD storage, and then your spinning disks, your hard disk drives that you can take advantage of. Capabilities. I think folks are surprised sometimes that you can get the performance that you would have on-premise with a VM in Azure taking advantage of premium disks and taking advantage of some of the storage architecture out there. So you really can get high performance within the cloud if you need it. The different capabilities are available in different regions. For the most part, I think everybody we're talking to today is in the U.S., so you're going to be able to take advantage of this in the U.S. data centers. We talked about all the security and the APIs already and how all this works. We do have the capability of snapshotting a disk for backup, and we do have the capability, if you want to use some of your existing backup capabilities in the cloud, you can do that as well. You can also expand your disks that are in place in the cloud within Azure. Here's a comparison between premium storage and standard storage disks. Really, you just decide, like everything else in the cloud, it's all a decision between performance and cost. Obviously, there's more cost for SSD, but there's more performance. So when you look at building out your environment, you just want to take advantage of what makes sense for your business and for your application. Now we'll talk about Azure Files. So when we think about Azure Files, essentially what we're doing is we've got a blob storage account, and we're going to present that blob storage account as an SMB share, just like we would a file server. So it's a really interesting way to access blob storage. It's useful for a lot of scenarios, whether it's just moving data into the cloud, making data highly available for an application. When it first came out, one of the use cases was if you had a number of virtual machines or web apps in Azure and you wanted to allow them to access maybe an image repository easily, then Azure Files was a way to do that. Then we can also use it for backup and DR if it makes sense for that use case. You can access Azure Files a lot of different ways. Most people just use SMB to access it. You could also use a REST API. Because it is SMB, you can get to it from Windows or Linux. You can get to it basically from anywhere around the globe. It's available in our various regions, including government. And then Mooncake is the old code name for the China Data Center, so it's available within the China Data Center as well. And then it's highly available and durable. It gives all the same capabilities that we had with our other block storage or blob storage, but we can access it via a simple common method. Now let's look at a quick demo of Azure Files. So we're going to go back into the Azure portal. We're going to create a new storage account. And the difference between this storage account and the previous one is we're actually going to create a general purpose or page blob type storage account. So we'll give it a name. We can select the different performance levels based on what we need. We're going to go ahead and select just locally redundant storage for the demo. We're not going to enable encryption. We'll give it a resource group. And we'll create that storage account. So again, that'll take just a couple of seconds to spin up. So we'll go refresh the page, go down and find the storage account we just created. You'll notice this looks a little bit different than the one we created in the previous demo. You'll notice that one of the options here is for files. So we're going to go ahead and select files. And then it's going to ask us to create a file share. So just like you were doing, would do on a file server, we're going to create a file share. So we'll just call it share. We can put a quota on that. It's how much data we want to put into that share. And if you hover over the different tips, they'll give you some feedback on what you're allowed to do here. We'll create the share. Now that we've created the share, we can add content into the share. So let's go ahead and upload some content. So we'll just upload a PDF file. Now, once the PDF file is uploaded, now we want to gain access to it from our machine on-premise. So if we select connect, it's going to give us information on how to use command line to create that connection. I'm just going to do it the way we would do it on-premise using File Explorer. So we're going to copy the URL to the file, or to the file share, excuse me. We're going to go map network drive. We're going to paste that in. We have to manipulate it a little bit and change it to an SMB type connection. So we'll make the double backslash, we'll change our other slash, we'll tell it we're going to log in with different credentials. So when we log in, we're going to use the name of the file share. So let's go ahead and select different credentials. So we'll put the name, excuse me, of the file share account. Now we're going to grab the access key. And we're going to put the access key in as the password. And we'll tell it to remember credentials. Once we've done that, voila, we have access to our Azure Files share. And we could put documents in it or pull documents out. So how do I position the different types of storage, and where do they fit? And this is a great little chart that explains what makes sense for what you're trying to accomplish. Azure Disks, pretty straightforward. You're going to use that with a virtual machine. When we think about Azure Files, I use Azure Files every day connected locally to my workstation to put things into the cloud that I want to share on my virtual machine. So you can use it in a lot of different ways. Blob storage, we're going to address that through some type of API normally. So we'll need an application normally to get access. Could just be the Azure portal, or it could be a tool like Storage Explorer, or what we'll see later on with some of our partners that have built solutions that address blob storage directly. Now let's look at one of our customers, CarMax, who has taken advantage of Azure and Azure Storage for their business. So if you've ever shopped on CarMax, you know that you can go to their website and you can look at the car that you want to purchase, and you can even have that car shipped in to another location. So you want to be able to see a lot about that car, and there's a lot of images that they post up there of those vehicles. Well, the way that they've done that in the past is they got a new vehicle into the store, they take a picture of that, the agent then uses a desktop uploader to upload that image to their image services, which runs in their on-premise data center, and then it's pushed over to their SAN. We all know that SAN storage is not cheap, and if you have to continue to add storage, because image files are not exactly small and they can't be compressed very much, so what you'll find out is that you continuously have to add storage to the SAN, which is kind of cost prohibitive. And then they were accessing that directly. So people would go to the website and they're going directly into CarMax's data center and accessing that data. So there's some scalability and performance limitations when you do that. And it kind of becomes cost prohibitive. So they looked at Azure and looked at the cloud and decided they could re-architect the app to be more efficient. And so what they've done now is we still drive the car up to CarMax and somebody takes a picture of the vehicle. They're going to use an image service to upload that to Azure. So now what happens is the image goes into blob storage. The application is running as an Azure web app. So this is all in the West region. So it's in West US region. Once the data is in West US region, they're going to take advantage of read access globally redundant storage or geo-redundant storage to replicate that over to the East US data center. So when we use read access GRS, it makes it available in the secondary region. So that web app is also replicated to that region, and then it's able to access the replicated data. Now, to get access to the website, they front-ended it with something called Traffic Manager. Traffic Manager is a global load balancer that's available within Azure. And so it does a couple of things. It obviously helps in the case of an outage in one region, it'll redirect to another region for redundancy sake. But it also can send the person to the nearest location. So it can also say, well, if you're in the East Coast, I'm gonna send you to the East region. If you're in the West Coast, I'm gonna send you to the West region. And they've been able to enable their application to run across multiple platforms, multiple screens. So this really enhanced their website, their experience, their ability to transform their business to better serve their customers. Where are they going next? Because of the resiliency, scalability, and economic model of the cloud, they're going to add 360 photos, video. They're going to be able to have images that need to stick around for a long time that they want to archive within cool storage and be able to better understand the data that's available. So let me take a look at a couple of questions that are in the window Looks like maybe we have a couple folks that are having some issues getting into the broadcast still. The embedded videos did not work. Apologize for that. The ability to back up files to Azure files manually. Yeah, absolutely. I would show you a demo, but unfortunately, I can't share my screen in Skype broadcast, but you literally just map a drive to the Azure files location and then start dropping data into it. It's very easy to implement. And then the other question is DFS versus Azure files. That is a longer question than I can answer right now, but it's very, very different technology. And then, so you would get the question about whether you know that the data has been replicated to another data center. You can actually see that in the Azure portal. You'll know that was passed over. All right, so we've talked about some of the Azure storage capabilities. Now let's drill a little bit into some hybrid use cases. So we're going to look at backup and disaster recovery, and we're going to look at hybrid cloud storage. We'll kick off with backup and DR. So answer one question that popped up on the screen. They're using Backup Vault, and is this blob storage? Yes, Backup Vault is backed up by blob storage. It's kind of, you don't see that because you address the Backup Vault, but in behind the scenes, it actually is blob storage. So when we think about the cloud and the opportunities of the cloud, you end up with some conflicting questions within your organization and some different interests that you might have. So we know we have these requirements for backup. The requirements don't change whether I'm in the cloud or on-premise. So I have to meet all these different requirements. But I know I want to take advantage of the cloud and take advantage of the cost model, the resiliency, the ability to fail over or recover to a different site without having to pay for a colo facility. And it'd be really great to just manage all this from a web browser, let's say. Most organizations have tools and processes that work. But they also want to take advantage of the cloud without reinventing everything. You've got investments that you've made on-premise. Maybe it's a set of hardware, maybe it's a process. And then when you go to the cloud, you want to be able to take advantage of those investments. So let's look at how we can integrate and meet all these requirements. This is a high-level overview of how these solutions generally work with Azure. So you'll have a backup solution that could be on-premise, it could be for your cloud-based VMs and data. So you've got the backup solution. The backup solution is going to target storage. It's either gonna target it directly as like block storage, or in the case of somebody had the question about backup vault, which is what we used to call the recovery services vault, is what we call it today. But a backup vault is essentially a virtual appliance that runs in the cloud that we communicate with from on-premise. So that's our target that we're talking to. And then backup and DR are actually different. When we think about DR, it might just be restoring a backup, but we can also do different things around recovering a virtual machine live into the cloud, which we'll look at. We can also use some of these technologies to migrate data into the cloud if we want. So at Microsoft, we'll take advantage of some of the same technologies as a migration tool as well as a backup tool. First, I'm going to cover off on some Microsoft-delivered solutions. So these are solutions that are first party from Microsoft. So the first is Azure Backup. And there's a couple of different ways that you can take advantage of Azure Backup. And we're going to specifically look at on-premise to the cloud. For workloads in Azure, backup is pretty much native. PaaS services, it's built into the PaaS services. And with Azure VMs, you just basically execute right within the portal. No requirement for an infrastructure. If we have on-premise workloads, we have a couple of different ways we can access those. So there's a tool called Azure Backup Server. It's essentially a version of Data Protection Manager that has been customized for certain workloads. We can download that, run it within our data center, target different workloads, and then back those up into the cloud. And this is an enterprise level management tool. So it's not just a single instance. It's able to handle multiple servers, targeting multiple servers, and centrally manage backup policies, et cetera. So it's like any other enterprise backup tool. Then we also have Data Protection Manager. If you have System Center and you have Data Protection Manager, you can integrate it with Azure Backup as well and back up those workloads. In one screenshot, we show Hyper-V, the other one VMware. We can do both with both. Okay. And one of the nice things that was just announced a couple months ago was the ability for us to back up VMware VMs from the host. So we can target the VMware host now and back up individual VMs. In the past, we had to load the agent into individual VMs to back them up. Now we can do it at the host level, which is really nice. And then what if you want to take advantage of Azure Backup, maybe on a remote office system, maybe on your laptop? You can load the Azure Backup agent directly on a Windows system and then be able to back that system up into the cloud directly. And that's basically an extension of the Windows Backup that's built into the operating system. So when we look at Azure Backup, some of the benefits there is it can be a tape replacement if you're still sending tapes offsite. We can schedule it or we can do it ad hoc when we need it. We can take advantage of the different types of storage models and durability out there. We encrypt that data in flight and at rest. We can protect all the different workloads that you have, and we can have really long retention up to 99 years if that makes sense for your business. Now let's look at a quick demo of Azure Backup. So the first thing we have to do is install the Azure Backup agent. Now we're installing this on a Data Protection Manager server. This agent is the same agent you would use on an individual server or workstation if you wanted to back those up directly into Azure, but it also is the agent we use inside a Data Protection Manager to connect it into Azure. So we'll go through the install process real quickly. Once the install is complete, now what we're going to do is go into our Data Protection Manager console. And Data Protection Manager, Azure Backup Server essentially are the same, except for a few customizations in Azure Backup Server. So the functionality is the same. So when we go into DPM, we're going to need to register with the Backup Vault. And so when we set that vault up, we were able to download some credentials. So I'm going to go ahead and input those Backup Vault credentials. We'll finish up this wizard. We can control how much bandwidth we're using and when we're using it, because remember, we are sending this out to the cloud and it could be a lot of data, so we may want to throttle that. We do need a local location on the server if we need to recover something, so basically a temp drive. So we'll create a little temp directory out there that we can recover data to. So we'll just give that a name. And select that folder. Now we need to enter our encryption passphrase. We could generate that or we could enter one ourselves. This is what we're going to use to recover the data. So you definitely want to maintain control of this. So we'll enter that passphrase. And we'll register with the vault. So once that's completed, now what we need to do is deploy the agent onto a system that we want to back up. So we're going to deploy the agent onto a Hyper-V host. So we can see a list of our servers within the domain. So we're going to select one of our Hyper-V hosts. We're going to put some credentials in that give us permission to install the agent on the Hyper-V host. And there are firewall considerations, so definitely go out and check out TechNet, where you can find the firewall ports you need to open and such so that you can deploy that agent remotely. We're not going to restart the computer. It doesn't require restart in this case anyway, but we're going to tell it not to. And we'll finish up with the agent install. Now that we've installed the agent, what we need to do is set up protection. So inside of DPM, we have this concept of protection groups, and you can think of that like a backup policy for a set of systems. So we're going to create a new protection group. And it's a wizard, just like everything else. We're going to say servers. You can see we've already got that deployed on HV7, which is our Hyper-V server. We're going to go down, and we can select different workloads, but we're going to select one of the VMs inside of Hyper-V. So you notice I can select that VM. And I can set up just local protection to the disk, or I could set up cloud protection, or I can do both. So I'm going to go ahead and select both. If you had other types of storage available, that would show up here. And we don't have a tape drive, so it doesn't show up. So we're just going to go ahead and click Next. We're going to set up what we want for retention. We're going to set up our replica times, so our how often we're taking those snapshots. We're going to put in some data for what's protected in Azure. We're going to set up when we want to do the backup copy into the cloud. We have a retention policy we can set in Azure, so this is that whole 99 days thing again. How we want to handle replication. There's our summary, and we're going to create the group. So real quickly, just walk through that wizard. And that's how easy it is to back up a system into the cloud. So now what we're going to do is we're going to talk about site recovery. Now, site recovery is very different than backup. So when we think about backup, we're going to target a workload, we're going to back up the data someplace, and then if something bad happens, we're going to have to restore that data back and spin that system up. And that could take a period of time, you know, depending on your objectives and your system. You know, it could be hours, could be days to restore that environment. So with Azure Site Recovery, what we're going to do is we're actually going to fail over a workload into the cloud or to another data center. So if you use something like VMware Site Recovery Manager, this is a similar technology. We've had a lot of customers move from that technology, think this technology is easier to manage, and it gives them some advantages. So what you do is you go up into the Azure portal, you create a recovery plan, and then we're going to manage, again, all of that from that portal. We have different ways that we can do this. You could have a workload running on-premise that we're going to replicate and recover into Azure. And that workload could be VMware, it could be Hyper-V, it could be a physical server. I think a lot of people are surprised that you can actually fail over a physical server into the cloud and then bring it back. So pretty powerful technology. Another way that we could deliver this is if you have another data center, but you just want to take advantage of the management plane, you want to take advantage of management as a service through site recovery, then we can use the same technology to replicate and fail over to another data center. And then last but not least, we're going to be releasing, it's currently in preview, the ability to use this technology within Azure. So if I have a number of VMs that are running in one data center, and I want to be able to fail those over to another Azure region or data center, then I'll be able to do that using Site Recovery. And that's going to be a service that you'll just be able to take advantage of. And we have all the same capabilities that we talked about in backup. So the encryption and one big cost model difference is on-demand compute. In a lot of cases, when you use these services, you have to pay for that replica running, even though it's not running in the other data center. In our solution, you don't pay for it unless it's running over there. And we can do this across Linux. We can do it across Windows. We can do it from Azure on-premise. We can even do it from Amazon into Azure if you wanted to. It has its built-in automation capability, so you can use Azure Automation to automate the failover. So, because you're not going to fail over just one virtual machine. You're going to fail over a number of virtual machines, and you're probably going to need to spin those up in a certain sequence. We can handle that whole process, and we can do it all from within the Azure portal. And then for the replica, you can use your public internet connection, so it's encrypted HTTPS over the internet if you want to use that. But if you have MPLS, you can take advantage of something called ExpressRoute, which is going to give you more QoS and guaranteed performance as you replicate that workload. So just to answer a couple of questions that are in the window, yes, you can round trip a VMware VM to the cloud and back. So that was a big step forward for us. And the question about converting the VMDK, we're going to do all that for you. It's part of the service, so you don't have to worry about any of that conversion process. We've talked about the Microsoft first party scenarios. Now let's look at, I like that question. If you still got 5 1/4 floppy disks that are good to go, I'm sure we can figure out a way to get that into the cloud. So the next thing we're gonna talk about is our partner solutions. Now I'm only gonna use one example just for the sake of time, and we'll talk about more partners as we go through. So a partner that a lot of folks use is Commvault. And there's a lot of value in Commvault. We've had a partnership with Commvault since they started. And the great thing about Commvault is that you essentially manage all the backup and recovery and storage management, data management of all the different workloads from one place. So that workload could be running on-premise, it could be running virtual, it could be an endpoint, it could be Office 365, it could be in Azure. And I can manage all that from one place through Commvault. And so it's very easy to extend Commvault into the cloud. So a case study of a company that leveraged Commvault is Innovative Systems up in South Dakota. They had an environment that was 80 servers. They were 75% virtualized on Hyper-V. They were running SQL Server. They used Office and AD. They were a .NET development shop. They were taking advantage of the scale-out file server, which is tool that allows you to get some really scalable file serving on top of commodity hardware. And then they had Azure. They needed a solution that was multi-platform capable, that would work across Linux as well as Windows. They needed to be able to support cluster shared volumes for that scale out file server we talked about. They had Hyper-V virtual machines to back up, and they wanted to be able to fail over into the cloud and recover into the cloud. And so they looked at the different benefits of the Commvault solution, and they were able to take advantage of that to meet all their requirements. And so they could recover apps or VMs directly into Azure. The data was already in the cloud and they ready to use if they needed to spin that up for some reason. And it allowed them to take advantage of the investments that they'd already made in Commvault, but extend it into their new environment in Azure. So, and just one other highlight that I've seen a lot of customers interested in when it comes to Commvault is that e-discovery and searchability. It's amazing how effective their search engine and e-discovery capability. And so now you can do e-discovery across all of your data, not just maybe your Office 365 data. So in the end, they had 69 terabytes of data that was stored in Azure Cold Storage across three locations. It enabled a 300% increase in retention and acceleration of recovery times from days to minutes. I hear this a lot with cloud. When you start understanding the best way to leverage cloud technologies, you can increase your capabilities maybe around retention, but you can also reduce the time for workloads, because if I needed to process a workload on-premise, maybe it takes me 6 hours to do it. But if I could spin that up on 3 or 4 VMs in the cloud, I might be able to get it done in an hour and then spin the VMs down and really reduce my cost model. So the cloud really does provide a lot of value for certain scenarios. They realized a 90% reduction in redundant data because of the deduplication built into to Commvault, and the management of the system was centralized and easier. So now we're going to roll into hybrid cloud storage. Let me look at a couple questions in the window real quick before we roll out here. So we got a question: any benefits to using Azure Backup on the Hyper-V host to back up guest VMs compared to backing up the guest VM directly by installing an agent on the guest VM? So, and the question, extended question is, can I do file and folder restores if I back up at the host level of the VM? The biggest benefit is management. When we think about backing up individual VMs, you got to manage the backup process on individual VMs. If I just target the host, it's a whole lot easier to manage that, and I can do it at an enterprise level centrally. And with our solution, and I would say most of the backup solutions out there, I can restore individual files and folders off of the VM. So yes, you can do exactly what you're asking to do. So now let's talk about hybrid cloud storage. So when we think about storage, you've got certain requirements on-premise, you know, latency, access, ability to clone data, you need security model around that data. But when we think about the cloud, maybe I want to extend access to organizations that are around the globe or around the country. I only want to pay for what I'm using. I want that centralized management of the environment and ease of management of the environment, though. Users like the experience you have today. They understand the workflow. So we want to keep that the same as much as possible. You don't want to have to retrain the workforce. You've made investments on-premise you want to take advantage of, but you want to use those with the cloud. So these are the opportunities that we face when we start looking at hybrid storage. So when we think about what I call cloud integrated storage, you're going to get a number of kind of common capabilities across these platforms. It's going to be file or block level access. It's going to be accessed almost identically to the way you do it on premise. Depending on the solution, you may have something called a global file system or a global repository, which gives you some remote access functionality. So you can access that data from multiple locations anywhere. You can take advantage of the edge caching to be able to get better performance in the remote location, and that could be a virtual appliance. A lot of folks don't realize that within Azure, we can actually use virtual riverbed appliances and such to get higher performance from a remote location. You can also take advantage of our network in a lot of scenarios. So what I've seen customers do is they'll use Azure, the Azure backbone, as a way to pass data from one region to another. And then global file locking. This is all part of that global file system, again, that allows people to have concurrent access and maintain consistency across the files, even though they're shared from multiple locations. And then we've got the same type of security models built into these tools that we use on premise, so it's consistent. You don't have to change your workflow or your model. So we're going to look at a Microsoft first-party solution. You may have heard of a solution called StorSimple. StorSimple works like an iSCSI SAN. So you front-end that with a file server. And then it's going to allow you to connect your Windows machines, your Linux machines, even your VMware servers if you want to use it for NFS, to that storage. Now, within the StorSimple appliance, it has spinning disks, and it also has SSD. So it does have the ability to tier data locally. And so there is local storage on this appliance. But then what it also has is it has a cloud integrated tier. And with that cloud integrated tier, as data gets cold, we can move that off to the cloud. In addition to the cloud integration, it does do inline dedupe compression, and it is encrypted before it leaves your location. It has its own built-in backup solution. So instead of having to use your traditional backup to back up your StorSimple appliance, you can actually use the native backup built into the appliance. And so that makes DR and recovery a whole lot more efficient than what we've seen in the past. If you want to access the data, you can actually access it in Azure using something called a virtual StorSimple appliance, and we manage it all through the StorSimple manager, which runs within the Azure portal. We've seen customers benefit from this type of solution. They use it for everything from primary storage to just for DR type storage. We can do remote replication into StorSimple. It's been known, depending on the data type, to reduce storage cost by 40 to 60%. When I talk to customers about it, I really focus them on unstructured data. So if you've maybe got file servers out there that have got data on them for the last 10 years, you're having to add more storage to that environment. Maybe it's on a SAN. You can maybe move that data over to StorSimple. Keep your SAN for your data that you need to access more frequently for your VM workloads that need more performance, but then use StorSimple for some of the common file share type workloads. Again, with this cost model, and tiering that data off as its use case changes is going to save you money in the end. It's going to make your environment more efficient, and it helps especially from a DR scenario. If for some reason your data center gets stepped on, you can restore that data into another StorSimple appliance or into the virtual appliance in the cloud. I've really hit on this already, but just to kind of double tap on it, is that the integrated data protection is huge. When people look at these solutions, I don't think they always understand that the data protection is built into it. You don't have to manage it with another solution, which makes it a lot more efficient than just standard data storage. And it doesn't require another piece of high-end hardware, which is another nice thing about this appliance, is it doesn't have to replicate to another high-end piece of hardware. It just replicates to the cloud. Here's some customers that have taken advantage of StorSimple, just to give you an idea of what people are using it for. I'll leave that on the screen for just a second. All right, now what we're going to do is take a look at a partner example for hybrid cloud storage. So we have a partner called Nasuni. Nasuni builds an appliance that also is a cloud integrated storage appliance. So one of their customers was the Field Museum of Natural History. And what the Field Museum does is it categorizes and stores DNA data. And so they had collected DNA data from over 25,000, or from 1,000 species, so 25,000 genes from thousands of species, and they're sequencing that data. So they're breaking that data down and to understand it. Well, that obviously takes a lot of storage to do that. So they had a challenge around that. They had 30 million artifacts and specimens that needed to be categorized and images preserved. And those images are anywhere from 10 megabytes to 10 gigabytes. You can imagine that this data grows exponentially over time. So they'd seen 120% terabyte growth year over year in this data. They need to ensure the data is protected offsite. Now, it's a museum, so this is not an organization that has lots of money, so they need to do it in a very cost-effective manner. And they had to do it with a small staff. They only had a staff of 7 folks. They know the data is going to grow over 3 years, and they couldn't increase their data center footprint, so they couldn't add another SAN into their environment. So what they looked at was Nasuni. And Nasuni is a file service as well as an appliance. So what you see on the screen down at the bottom, you've got a number of different types of caching appliances that you can use on premise. So there's different size appliances based on your requirements. But then that data is replicated up into the cloud. And because of the Nasuni, what they call UniFS, or their global file system, this allows folks to have concurrent access to data. It handles that file locking that we talked about. It provides versioning of files. It allows you to access that data remotely. So if you had somebody that was on the road and they needed to get a piece of data, they can actually use the Nasuni system on their mobile device to access that data. And Nasuni provides a managed service on top of their solution. So they have their own operations center that helps with ensuring the reliability of the solution. And then you manage it all through a web-based console. So it's a really nice solution, and it opens up lots of different possibilities. It also includes replication between sites. So a lot of times I'll get asked, well, wait a second, you just talked about StorSimple and now you're talking about Nasuni. One of the biggest differences between the two is Nasuni allows you to replicate between different places. So StorSimple is really a one location scenario. If I want to access data on StorSimple, I'm probably going to do it in a very traditional manner. So similar to what we talked about with maybe DFS or something. with Nasuni, it's going to handle that replication for us. And because of that global file system, I could have branch offices access that central data, and it will ensure the consistency of that data between the different locations. So it's a really different use case than what we see for StorSimple. And so the partnership with Field Museum, they were able to expand to 20 terabytes within 12 months without changing their local footprint. Because of GRS, they now have 6 copies of their data, and it's geographically redundant. They have provided the same level of performance on-premise, but they've increased their size. So even with the different types of files, large files and small files, they were able to get better consistent performance out of the solution. And the system can be disaster recovered in under 15 minutes because of that unified file system. And then with the management console, it makes it easy for that small staff to manage that environment, even though it's growing exponentially. So it's a really nice solution that you can take advantage of. Now, I've just talked about two particular partners. That just happened to be two that I had good examples for. But we've got all kinds of different partners that are out there in the Azure marketplace that you can leverage. So if you're using NetApp, if you're using EMC, you're using Dell, Veeam, Veritas, they all have solutions that integrate with Azure. We've also got partners like SoftNAS and Panzura that deliver global file systems and provide use cases. I had a customer the other day that was standing up a new environment, and they had no data center. So they want to be cloud only, but they still need file services. So solutions like SoftNAS and Panzura and Nasuni can give them that capability without necessarily having an on-premise footprint for their file services. So some really interesting use cases. Again, you know, what I hope you've seen as we've gone through this is Microsoft has a unique capability that we can deliver cloud, on-premise, and hybrid, and we can do it through first party, and we can do it through our partners. So we believe that we provide choice that our customers need when it comes to storage management, backup, and disaster recovery.